Welcome to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We are Flipper, the Family Law Practitioners Association of Queensland. Family law is a wonderfully rewarding career, but is not without its challenges. Join us as we explore the issues that impact on the practice and well-being of family law practitioners. We hope our episodes will not only inform and inspire you, but encourage you to reach your potential. Enjoy this episode.
Hi, I'm James Bailey of Wallace & Wallace Lawyers. On behalf of the Flipper Board, I have the pleasure of welcoming Joe Box of Grant Thornton. Joe is joining me today to speak about the topic, how to get the most out of your expert. Joe, welcome.
Thanks, James. Great to be here.
What is the number one thing of how you can get the most out of your expert?
Look, one of the things I'm seeing at the moment is that we're all under a lot of pressure in terms of the timing of how we get our reports completed. You as professionals are under timing to get your client's matter through the court process as quickly as possible. And the valuation process itself sometimes doesn't start until the expert receives the letter of instructions, which in itself, if it's difficult or a complex matter, could take a number of months of to-ing and fro-ing between the lawyers, trying to determine what it actually is that they need the single expert to do. And just that particular resolution or agreement around what it is they want to tell the expert. But I don't think we need to wait until the letter of instructions is finalized as a lawyer in terms of getting the process started. I think, you know, quite often what will happen is, from an accounting perspective, get the letter of instructions, and the first thing that we'll do is generate a letter of a list of information that we require. And that quite often is, as I'm feedback is, it's extensive. It's very long, can be a number of documents. Now, that in itself can take a month or numerous weeks for the parties to collect that information, get their accountant to collect that information. And that whole process could actually be done concurrently with the timing of the delivery of the letter of instructions and the drafting of that, so that when you actually give the accountant the letter of instructions, you could give them a bundle of documents, which might not be everything that they want, and quite frankly, won't be everything that they want, but it could be 80 to 90% of that request. And so what you've done there is you've saved yourself almost a month of time of that initial collation of documents that will ultimately save you and your client that time at the end in terms of delivery of the report. Because too often, I'm sure everyone who's listening has had situations where the report's delivered the night before mediation. And that, you know, the effectiveness and value of the timing of that report is limited because of the closeness of the mediation day.
That makes a lot of sense, Joe. Thank you. Joe, what is it that people should be doing with their accountants early to allow them to be briefing you early?
Yeah, look, I think the number one thing that they can do is get onto their accountant and see if they can get their financial information brought up to date as quickly as possible. Most compliance accountants will have their clients scheduled into a particular time of year that they want to do the work. But the reality is what you want to do is put your client higher up on that list. Like, you don't want, like now it's June 2024. In a couple of weeks, it's going to be 30 June 24. If you've got a client going through that process now, you'd love to use 30 June 24 accounts. It's up to date, it's current, you're not relying on something that's 12 months old. So if you can get your client's accountant working on that or working with your client to produce and get that information up to date, you'll ensure that the expert has the most current and up-to-date financial information to use to give you the answer, which can only improve the quality of the answer they give you.
Absolutely, and avoid the need for it to be updated later on.
Hopefully, exactly.
So, Joe, how do you approach things, or what's your recommendation when a client's coming to you and saying, this is happening in our family business, I'm really worried about this, what do you do?
Yeah, look, I think with all things in a litigation environment, and it's really helpful for me as a single expert, is evidence and documentation to those things is just so helpful. More often than not, I'll sit down with both parties as part of the evaluation process and talk to them, but that might happen halfway through the actual process itself. But if you've got a client that's raising specific issues with you now and saying, oh, look, you know, we've had a good year, but we've got this issue coming up now, I wouldn't just be saying, oh, that's, you know, just let it go and all that'll come out as part of the valuation process. I think a good way you can be proactive to say, well, look, that's a really interesting point. If it is going to be relevant from a financial perspective, what can we do now to gather financial information or other documents that will demonstrate the fact that this thing is happening in the business. Quite often accounts, I was just saying before about, you know, getting your 30 June 24 accounts up to date, they're still a record of what's happened in the past. They're not necessarily a great record of what's happening in the business now. So, you know, there may well be more current, you know, information or analysis that can be done around the activities of the business, which actually really demonstrate the point your client's trying to raise. And why wait for the single expert to sort of, oh, okay, let's look at it as part of the process. You want to really get that packaged up and delivered to them.
Yep, that makes sense. Joe, that answer really leads us into sort of thinking about, well, when is a shadow expert going to help you? Should you be engaging them sort of before the single expert, or should it be something done afterwards? Can you give us some understanding about that?
Yeah, look, in the sort of circumstances we were just talking about where the client's talking about problems in their business at the moment, maybe things have changed, and you want to get some greater insight as to what that means or it might mean from your client's perspective, from a valuation perspective. Look, I think there's some real value if the pool and I guess from a cost perspective, you can justify getting a shadow expert involved, getting them involved even before you might instruct the single expert, particularly in that sort of situation where you might want to gather that evidence to begin with, because it's the shadow that will help you, that will guide your client as to what might be needed. They might be able to work with the client's compliance accountant to identify what information might be relevant. And they'll be able to provide some real insight to yourself as a lawyer as to what's relevant and what's not. Because I think sometimes we spend a bit of time around, your client tells us a lot of different things. What's relevant, right? What is actually the big picture here? What's the big issue that we need to take into account? And the shadow will help guide you with respect to, no, that's not something you need to rely, you know, worry about too much, but this is something that could be a big problem, and maybe we need to look at it. And just helps bring it all together, I think, and condense it into, you know, this is something that we need to focus on.
Yeah. And I guess potentially a client's going to get a much better outcome if they're then in turn using that information to go ahead and brief a joint expert, having known what it is that they need to be drawing attention to. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly right. Look, I mean, I think the shadow expert can add value and assist yourself as a professional, your client, because when the accounting issues come up through the course of the matter, you know, rather than trying to muddle through it yourself, legal and obviously the law being your expertise, the accountant can come into it and just say, look, it might just take a lot less time to actually put the whole issue into a nutshell and what needs to be done, whether that is, what are the letter of instructions? What should it say? Do we need to include this? How do we incorporate this? Are these particular assets needing to be valued? Those sorts of things. I think from that perspective, it can really reduce the time that might require for you being on the file and working with your client. And so while there might be the added cost of the accountant, the actual time saving from other people who might be involved in the process, you know, it works out to be about the same. Mm. It helps people get to the end outcome quicker.
Mm. And certainly means if you're then being engaged after the single expert report has been received, it's allowing you to then potentially respond much more quickly.
Exactly. If you're sort of been there from the beginning, you know what the issues are, you know what the business is, and then you've sort of got a good idea as to what you might feel that valuation should contain and include. And it just allows you to turn around that advice much quicker, which, you know, you've only got 21 days to ask your questions. So you really want to get onto that process as quickly as possible. And I think from that perspective, having someone briefed up can be very valuable.
Mm, that makes a lot of sense. So you get your single report in, Joe. What is it that you find is an underutilized way of then going ahead and trying to get more information out of the report process?
Yeah, look, James, I mean, the traditional way of trying to get information out of the expert about their report is to ask questions. But I find this can be a time-consuming and costly process, which often doesn't bear a lot of fruit for the people who are asking the questions. The single expert might become defensive in terms of the way they address those questions, just bat the ball back nice and gently, and you don't really get a lot from it. What I think is a chronically underused provision in the rules that might help you and your client understand what the expert is thinking and coming to their conclusions is holding a conference with the expert. And the rules allow for this. And look, I've been doing this now, you know, single expert rules have been in since 2004. So 20 years of single expert sort of regime in terms of family law. I can honestly say that I have had a conference with the clients after producing a report once. in those 20 years. And while the rules have changed for that 20 year, that conference provision's been there that whole time. So and I think, you know, why a conference might be of value as opposed to questions is that, you know, people ask a question, get a response, which naturally generates another question, which you can't do in, when you're drafting questions in a written form, right? You've got to think through what's all the different permutations of an answer I might get and try and draft your question to try and elicit more information. But when you're sitting around a table and everyone hears that's the one thing that the expert's saying and you can follow up with questions, I think there's a real opportunity there to bring people actually together. So they understand and leave that conference with a consistent and common view as to why the expert has reached that opinion, how they've reached that opinion, and what they think is the most relevant aspects of their client's business in getting there.
Potentially meaning that there's greater strength and integrity in the report because there's greater buy-in from both parties. Is that right?
Exactly right. And look, I think a lot of time there's, you know, arguments develop because people don't necessarily understand what the position is. It's just that that number doesn't help me, or I don't like that number, or I need a larger number, or I need a smaller number. And they're coming at it from that position. But, you know, I think if you explain why you reach that answer and both people understand that's the reasoning why, as opposed to shadow boxing around it, or maybe having no idea and just falling into that fixed position of antagonism or conflict, or I want a bigger number. And say, well, hang on a sec, it's this number because of this. Mm. Yes, I know that because we've had these discussions around the kitchen table night after night. That resonates with me. It makes sense.
Mm.
And I think it just helps people, you know, get into that acceptance point, which then once they get to acceptance, you know, resolution comes soon after.
That makes a lot of sense. Thanks for talking to us today.
Right, James, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We confirm that the information we discussed today was just that, information for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not specific advice. If something discussed has you considering whether you should take steps, it is important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, whether that be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or other advice. Please reach out to Flipper if there's another topic you'd like explored, and if you know someone who might benefit from the show, remember to tell them about it. Thank you for listening.